This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and now a little Russian music for our Russian listeners, because we had a nice email from Julia in Russia.
Hey!
There! Okay, enough. Thank you. Okay, so I mean, I know we got a huge audience in Russia, but let's we don't want to give our rest of our audience short shrift. So let's come back to our questions, and we're talking about the salad and salmon diet.
Yeah,
Cheryl. In regards to anything in particular?
Yeah, Cheryl is asking. I have a question regarding it. Do you still recommend it to your patients? I still see it has a prominent place on your website, but you've been talking more about the Whole 30 diet lately.
Yep.
So where do you sit with this? I'm a 63-year-old healthy woman, you know.
Okay. So a little historical background on the salad and salmon diet is that in the 1970s, which was around the time that I was in pre-med and in early parts of medical school, pretty much throughout medical school, I was on a macrobiotic vegan diet. Mm-hmm. I had no animal protein whatsoever. No dairy, no eggs, no chicken, fish, a little tiny bit of fish, you know, maybe some bonita flakes as a flavoring in soup, but not actual fish. Mm-hmm. Certainly no red meat. And then I began to revise my dietary approach. When I began my practice in the 1980s, I began to realize that this is not for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I began to include some animal protein, but along the lines of what they now call the Mediterranean diet. Mm. And so I developed what I called the salad and salmon diet. Salmon, because I felt salmon was preferable to red meat, because I still believe that red meat was not so good for you.
Yeah.
And so that's a very good diet, because it emphasized lots of fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yes.
Whole grains. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I wasn't averse to whole grains, mm-hmm. But whole grains, not whole grain bread.
Right.
You know, still didn't
not a processed whole grain.
Because even then, I said, eat as if the flour mill had never been invented. So if you want whole wheat, fine, have bulgur wheat.
Yes.
You know, wheat berries or something. Mm-hmm. That's not going to help you if you have celiac disease or gluten intolerance, but it's going to give you a lot of fiber, and that's generally good.
Yeah.
And, you know, not Quaker instant oatmeal, but, the long, the type of oatmeal takes a long time.
Steel cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was the salad and salmon diet, essentially. However, as I evolved in this field, and partially through your influence, you know, working with you, because your experiences with the Atkins Center, Layla, I gravitated more towards a lower carb paradigm for myself personally. I went on the Whole 30.
Yeah.
I felt better. I lost weight. And not that I needed to lose a lot of weight, but, you know, interesting. Today, I just, we were trying out some new equipment in the office, and I just had a body composition analysis, which gave me my body fat. And I was pleased to see my body fat was 14%.
Wow.
Which actually put me, interestingly, you know, percentiles, they say I'm in the zero percentile.
Oh.
Which is unusually low body fat.
Yeah.
But I thank God I'm not like 5% body fat, because that would be like a person with an eating disorder, you know, anorexia nervosa.
You need some fat, people.
So that's good, because the goal for men is less than 25%. So it's happy to see that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I digress. But so the salad and salmon diet, I think, is still a lot of people would improve their diets by going on the salad and salmon diet.
Yes, it's still relevant.
It's a moderate diet. It's not an extreme diet. You can have whole grains.
You can have whole grains. The nice thing I like about the salad and salmon diet, and I find myself prescribing it over and over again, for people who could tolerate grains.
Yes.
For those who don't have a problem in any way, shape, or form with gluten, everything is fine.
And they can
and
have
they don't
some,
have to be gluten-free.
And they can have some
anyway.
Dairy on it. They can have some
exactly.
yogurt.
You're basically limiting your portion to not more than 2 servings of grains a day, which is very, very good and moderate for
yep.
many people. Very tolerable for many right. people. And you could still lose weight doing
so,
it that way.
But what? You know? But we do see people who have problems.
Yes.
And many of them have already been on moderately good diets.
Exactly.
And they need to
step it up.
Tighten it up. Yeah.
They need to step it up. Mm-hmm. Or they have medical conditions which really warrant them
autoimmune
to stay
diseases,
away. Autoimmune diseases.
Autoimmune diseases.
SIBO, inflammatory bowel disease.
Yeah.
These are all things that would
where they
warrant
really have to restrict.
A very low or no grain diet mm-hmm. would be warranted there.
And a paleo diet. So they might
yeah.
need to eliminate certain categories of food, which are great in the Mediterranean tradition, such as eggplant and tomatoes
mm-hmm.
and potatoes,
mm-hmm.
they have to eliminate those because they're nightshades.
And they're going to give up dairy.
Or legumes are permitted on the salad and salmon diet.
Yes.
And for some people, they cause digestive problems, or
mm-hmm.
they have lectins, which can promote autoimmunity.
Exactly.
So we
yeah.
tell people to get off them.
Right.
So
right.
for me personally, I will, you know, occasionally have some legumes.
Mm-hmm.
I will, like this morning for some reason, I felt like oatmeal. And it's unusual, but I said, I have some steel cut oatmeal.
There you go.
Cook
it for 45
oh,
minutes.
I just put it in a crock pot.
Oh, good.
You have to premeditate with steel cut oatmeal. You can't
you
just say, I'm going to have it. No, you can't say, I'm going to, you know, put it on and I'm going to take a shower and I'll come back.
Yeah.
I put it on the 12 noon the day before. So I can have it. So I did like 20 hours.
Wow.
In the crock pot. It came out nice and creamy and really, it was really, great on a cold morning. I mean, it was like 28 degrees this morning.
And yeah. It's nice to have a hot bowl of cereal or
yeah.
a hot bowl of
but,
soup.
But
or
it was starch. But
yeah.
You know, I felt
sometimes
my body
you
needed
want
it.
That.
Yeah.
You can have it.
Yeah.
I would advise people not to cook beans in a crock pot.
Because
you won't break down the lectins.
Whoa.
Yeah. You want to use, if you're making beans from scratch, you want to do the soaking overnight and do all of that thing.
You learn something new every time
yeah.
on the Q&A with Layla.
Yeah. Well, and what you want to do after you've soaked the beans, you either cook them regularly and cook them a long time or put them in a pressure cooker.
Okay.
A pressure cooker is going to break down all those lectins, mm-hmm. those anti-nutrients.
But
you don't want to cook your raw beans straight into the crock pot.
If you buy a pressure cooker, do you have to register with the National Security Administration?
I don't know. You know what, Doc? I have to confess. I have not used a pressure cooker, and I will confess to you all that I do not know how. My mother does. I've watched her use one all of my childhood. And my husband does, who's a former chef. So he knows. But did I stick around to learn how they use the pressure cooker?
Do you have
cooker?
Pressure cooker phobia?
No.
Because it's
but
scary.
But we have a nice pressure cooker.
It's scary because it's like
it's going to blow up.
Right. And also after, you know, this isn't
right.
funny, the Boston Marathon, you know, it's like pressure cookers.
Oh, yeah. Like, but you can cook a very tough piece of meat that would normally cook for 4 hours
yeah, I know, right.
in a jiffy. And
right.
it's delightful.
Yep.
Just
yep.
like falling off and,
yep.
and everything.
And actually, that's a speed up way to cook the
beans,
the oatmeal that you talked about.
The oatmeal, too. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you want to be careful what you put in your slow cooker as opposed to a pressure cooker, which is a very fast mm-hmm. cooker. But Cheryl, getting back to your question, it's different strokes for different folks, as you are fond of saying, Dr.
Yeah.
Hoffman. It's no such thing as one diet fits all.
Right.
So you kind of do what's best for you and how your biochemistry's respond to that.
It was designed as an accessible diet
yeah.
that could improve, you know, if Americans went on the salad and salmon diet.
It's very Mediterranean. 90%
of Americans, I think, would benefit from that move. Now, some people have already graduated beyond that.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. But if you're on the standard American diet or a not very good diet, you would benefit right away from going on salad and salmon diet. I guarantee it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we just take it from there. We modify as we go in how you're doing. Thank you for that very thoughtful question.
And by the way, we have nice recipes for the salad and salmon diet on drhoffman.com.
Yeah. We have a question. Let's see. I don't have a name on this email. The email says, Hi. I would love to know whether laser hair removal is safe. I'm considering using it in the bikini zone and under the armpits, and I would like to know if there might be any side effects, mm-hmm. that it might be dangerous. Well, we went down the hall.
Right, because we, just to explain, we work in a center that does a lot of aesthetic procedures.
Yes.
It's not part of my center, but that's currently where our offices are located. It's a big center. It's a really great concept. It's called Rebalance in New York City, and they have cosmetic surgeons, and they have cosmetologists, and people doing innovative anti-aging therapies here. And so we said, hey, you know, rather than looking it up, I have no direct experience with that. Let's ask them. So you asked them.
I asked them, and I said, so is there anything dangerous that we have this question from a listener? And she said, don't want to be pregnant. So make sure you're not pregnant, number one. Number two, it might, with different skin tones, skin pigmentation, might be a problem with laser hair removal. But beyond that,
I imagine that it's a question of, you know, darker colors attract the laser and lighter colors reflect the laser. So if you have, you know, like really dark skin, your skin might get affected by it. So I wonder if there's a contraindication if you're like a very dark-skinned African-American, that it, maybe that's not for you.
It's the ability of the practitioner. And the other danger, she said, and that would be, you know, somebody who really doesn't know how to use it, is burns.
Right.
But beyond that, you know.
Just get someone who is experienced and licensed and, you know, it's done by dermatologists, and I guess people achieve a level of proficiency and are licensed in the use of that. It's what it usually involves a series of treatments, and it can be expensive, you know, frankly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like to get like your back done, it could be, I don't know, a couple hundred dollars or something like that. You know, but that would be for men, I guess, more. You know, men like, these days men like to be, they like that completely hairless look. And I think this goes in cycles. You know, it's like, it may be that in, you know, 2040, we'll like a really hairy body look again.
You know? Do you remember Sean Connery?
Yes.
Have you ever gotten a close-up look at his back?
Oh, right.
On any James Bond paper?
Sure. I know. It's funny. Well, who was the other one? Burt Reynolds, who just died. Burt Reynolds, he was, you know, the famous pose where he's on that bearskin rug. And I'm not sure which had more hair, the hair in his chest or on the bearskin rug. He was in like Playgirl or something like that, posing provocatively. But no more, because the men don't tolerate that anymore.
I
wonder if there's a possibility of some skin irritation subsequently or something like that.
That's possible.
Yeah.
Well, I think men would also do a lot of waxing, for hair removal.
A la the 40-year-old virgin.
Yep. Oh, right. that scene.
Like, rip.
Yeah. So waxing is another, which really wouldn't really have any danger at all, except the wax might be too hot. I was an avid waxer back in my ESPN days. It was just a way I'd pamper myself every so often, and it was just great. And so, but I never went to laser because I was just afraid of it.
Okay. Well, I think we can dispel people's concerns about that.
So thank you for that question. Let's see here. We have a question from Alan. Dr. Hoffman and Layla, there seems to be more and more products claiming the increased bioavailability of liposomal delivery. Below is a quote from one such claim regarding vitamin C.
Right.
It increases bioavailability up to 1,500% versus vitamin C without liposomal delivery.
I think that that's an exaggerated claim.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's talk about what that is. A liposome is a kind of nanosphere delivery system, which means that you coat things with a lecithin-like material. And
a little flat fat blob.
Yeah, and so that it gets absorbed in what are called the lacteals, which is a part of the intestine where fat gets absorbed. So it kind of tricks the intestine to absorb these little packets.
Yeah.
Of nutrients. And where I think it works well is with things like curcumin, which is not very bioavailable.
Yeah.
And other,
you
perhaps
need
other
fat
herbals.
To absorb it.
Yeah, other, perhaps other herbals. because then it can get into the bloodstream. The thing about vitamin C, and this nobody's ever really explained this too well to me, is vitamin C is water soluble.
Yes.
And so why it should be better absorbed in the lacteals, I'm not sure why, and if that really is the case. And then it's still a polar compound, so it's not going to take it where you want vitamin C in the brain, for example. Things that traverse the blood-brain barrier often are not polar compounds like vitamin C. So, I don't know.
I have to wonder, what is the difference between a liposomal vitamin C and just having some fat with your vitamin C meal, with your vitamin C supplement?
But we know that, for example, with fat
it's
soluble,
all gonna get
with fat-soluble vitamins like vitamin
together.
A, vitamin D, vitamin E, vitamin K,
fish
oil, CoQ10, it's better to take them with carotenoids, lycopene, it's better to take them with some fat. So, for example, when you have tomato sauce with a lot of olive oil, that amps up the bioavailability of the lycopene in there. And if you're on a very low-fat diet and you take lycopene without any fat, maybe you're not going to absorb it that well. I get that.
Yeah.
But this is actually coating the water-soluble vitamin with a coat that tricks the body into absorbing it. It doesn't make all that much sense to me. And,
it doesn't, because it could be coated from the olive oil in the salad I just ate when I take my vitamin C capsule and...
It's still water-soluble, so you don't need fat to absorb it.
Right.
There's active transport in the gut to absorb vitamin C.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now, but some people that I respect use it, so I don't know what,
Probably no harm, really.
Harm to your pocketbook, because it's a sort of an expensive way of getting your vitamin C.
Right, And if you're prone to kidney stones, you want to be careful with vitamin C anyway, and if you're going to take the supposedly more bioavailable form, you want to be more careful there.
But I want to push back on that claim a little bit, because we had, I don't think we've had, when I was administering intravenous vitamin C, I can't think of maybe one case where we had somebody with kidney stones, and that's sort of on the average. Like people in general get kidney stones, so I'm not sure it was due to the vitamin C. That is... a controversial proposition. It was, it was raised as a specter of taking too much vitamin C, but I'm not sure that that's always the case.
Well, the ultimate way to get your vitamin C is IV.
Yeah.
Ultimately, because there's only so much you can take orally.
It bypasses the GI tract.
So,
So we have time for another question. Do we have another one?
We do.
Good.
Let's see. And thank you, Alan, for that question. We have one from Rosemary. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I love your show. I've been listening for years. Thank you for listening, Rosemary.
She's not even in Russia.
No.
It's amazing.
No.
We actually have listeners in the United States. It's very unusual.
Can you please recommend a good magnesium for, and she's two separate questions here. One, for a 74-year-old male with cardiovascular disease and stents, who's on statins and Plavix, and number two, me, a 73-year-old female with autoimmune disease and osteopenia.
Well, let's start with the cardiovascular.
Right.
Generally, the taurate is the preferred form
for cardiovascular
disease and for blood pressure.
Yeah.
But other forms will do. And, we often ask patients, are you constipated? Because if they're constipated, then we might give them some magnesium citrate. It's not that well absorbed, but it's a good laxative.
Yeah. And there's nothing that says that you can't take a combination of different magnesiums.
Sure.
One particular brand that I like, I know you like it in the powdered form, is the reacted magnesium.
Reacted magnesium.
I like to take that in the capsules. It's got glycinate in there, malate in there, and citrate in there, I believe.
I use that as a sports drink. Mm-hmm. And so the other day, I was a little exhausted after that IHS conference, and I just didn't feel like exercising. I just felt like, let me just relax and go in the steam room.
Uh-huh.
But one way to be able to stay in the steam room longer is to hydrate.
Oh, sure.
But plain water, I don't know, doesn't quite make it. So I just put a scoop of the reacted magnesium powder by Orthomolecular in there. And it was great. I was able to stay in the steam. I noticed that, you know how you've ever been in a steam room? You notice who comes in and out. I outlasted everyone. Nobody was in there longer than me.
They didn't have to drag you out, right, fainted or anything, did they?
I had my emergency bracelet on, so in case they had to like haul me out, I had, you know. But no, so I lasted as long as I could, but I went through an entire big water bottle of magnesium-enriched, water that was sweetened with stevia in a way that I really enjoy the flavor of. So I use it for when I go spinning or long bike rides. And it doesn't have any calories.
It doesn't. And you know what they say about magnesium? It's the forgotten electrolyte.
Okay.
You've got potassium, sodium, calcium, but magnesium is a big one.
Right.
So rehydrating that way before a steam.
Okay.
So it's actually a great idea.
So let's ask the second part of the question.
Rosemary is a 73-year-old female with autoimmune disease and osteopenia.
Okay. Well, you know, I would say a reacted magnesium in the pill or the powder.
That would be good. And depending on Rosemary, are you suffering with anything like leg cramps at night or glycinate tends to be good? But again, I like the reacted magnesium for some.
Doesn't it have
things.
Glycinate? It's mixed.
It does. Yeah. It's mixed.
So the way to get it is through FullScript. If you register for FullScript, you can have, through our website, go to the drop-down menu, it says shop, and you can register for FullScript, and then you have access to all these products. Orthomolecular makes reacted magnesium. It's a great product. If any of you have kids who like to exercise and you want to give them like a healthy hydration formula, that's a good one because it tastes sweet, no calories, and it's got magnesium in it.
Right, right. Good idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's the story.
We're sticking to it.
And we're sticking to it. And we would like your questions. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. Support our sponsors. Shop via FullScript. They're what make this podcast a continuing free resource to you. And that's all we have for this week. Thank you, Layla, for joining us.
Thank you, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you happen to be on a weight loss regimen, studies show that as fat cells shrink, they release stored toxins into the system that can actually poison metabolic pathways and slow your metabolism, causing your weight to plateau even in the face of stringent diet adherence. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol, a collection of carefully curated supplements to mobilize toxin elimination, easing the blahs that sometimes compromise your dietary resolve. The Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol is an easy way to get the exact combination of the targeted nutrients you need. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information and to purchase. Plus, you'll find easy-to-follow links to our heart health and immunity protocols and much more. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.